Woo-wee! There it is. Welcome to the Deadly Yarns podcast with Jackie Boy Wilson, coming to you on the Anchor app. That tune that that brought us in right there was a cracker of a tune that I was introduced with about a year ago from the producer and the creator that's with me right now, Benny Paulson. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on board. I've been listening to your podcasts, and before you know it, here you are in P-Town, P-City, in Perth, hanging out, having a cup of joe. And yeah, it's good to be here, man. Welcome to Perth. How are you finding it so far?
No, it's great. It's actually a bit of a miserable, you know, day outside and fairly windy. There's a few gusts coming through there, but the intro couple of days ago was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beautiful country over here, my first time. I love it. Appreciate you letting me in, you know, into your home like one of your own. I feel like family around here.
Of course, always welcome, you know. And we're going to be talking about some ninja stuff today.
Yep, and Ninja Warrior season one.
Yeah,
so for some it could have changed one's life. Yeah. Maybe even me and yours, yeah?
That's it, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, season one was an interesting one, that's for sure.
I think. So just to refresh the listeners' memory, 2017.
Yeah.
Actually filmed in 2016, so that's when we first heard of the show.
Yep.
First season in Australia, so it was, you know, very well known over in the States.
Mm.
Were you a big fan of the show?
Yeah, so leading up to season one, I think like a lot of people, I watched the American series. I watched a bit of the Japanese series on TV, late night television. I thought, this is pretty funny, you know, what's all this about? And then America started hitting it up, and it got really big there, and that's when I started going, oh, I'd like to do this one day. And I was fortunate enough, there was a gym called Ninja Academy, which I'm sure a few of you are familiar with here in Perth, and that opened up a few years ago now, and I thought, I was doing CrossFit at the time.
CrossFit, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, all right, I'll go give this a crack. And I then did the transition from CrossFit to Ninja, and I've been pretty much full-time Ninja for the past two, three years. Yeah, it's been good.
Lovely. So do you think the exchange from your love for CrossFit into the Ninja Warrior, were you sort of questioning that, or was this just a taste test? Like, well, I'll give it a crack, see how I feel.
Yeah, at the time, I was really, really into my CrossFit, you know, and I was doing comps and all sorts of stuff, and I'd probably been into it for about 9 months, and it just, that kind of took over my life. I was doing it every single day. I'd go home, do my research, watch the CrossFit games. Like, I fell in love with it, you know, and it's kind of surprised me. And I was the fittest I've ever been, still to this day, you know, doing CrossFit.
Yeah.
And the transition wasn't easy because I did enjoy it so much, but it just, for me, it came down to time and money. And what am I more passionate about? I thought this new venture of Ninja Warrior, I felt like I was more built. You know, we talk about body types a lot. Generally, I don't have big legs. I've never had big legs, and no matter how many squats or anything I do, they're always kind of going to be a little bit stringy, and that's all right. But I'm tall.
I feel your pain, brother.
I'm tall, which is not great for CrossFit either. Lifting head all above my weight, lifting all that weight above my head. But you know, moved into Ninja Warrior where I kind of just found my stride.
So I heard a lot about the CrossFit space. I had a few training sessions of my own, just randomly at a few random boxes around Australia.
Mm.
And I felt like they had a really strong community, and it was like a really powerful little group they had. Was that a big part of why you enjoyed it?
It really was. Yeah. So I knew one person going into this CrossFit gym. He was the guy that kind of led me there because I was looking for a new avenue. And once I got there and started to realize what a vibe and family vibe it really was, everyone's super supportive. You know, if you're towards the back of the pack, everyone will wait for you. And, you know, once they're finished, they'll wait and run along you and, you know, cheer you on and go, come on, you got this, last few reps. And then so once people started doing that to me, I'd catch up to them fitness-wise and I'd start helping other people.
That's right, you
know?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And same with Ninja Warrior, you know. Once I've learned a few tricks, I'm always happy to help other people out.
That's how it is, man. You help the people around you and, you know, good things happen, I think. Mm. And what's good, you know, and all the knowledge, you know, like,
exactly, yeah,
share it on so that person can share it. It's a ripple effect after that.
Yeah,
but we're here to talk about Ninja. So Ninja's taken over.
It has, hasn't it?
Ninja certainly has taken over.
It's taken over my life, that's for sure.
And mine also, just off the back of the CrossFit chat there, I think for anybody listening, doesn't matter what fitness, you know, space you get into, whether it's CrossFit or gym or F45 or Ninja Warrior, I think the main thing about it is that group, that atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think we'd like to really just let the people know that.
Of course, it is. It's all about surrounding yourself with like-minded people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've met some... I mean, here we are, sitting down in my hometown.
Yeah.
Having a cup of coffee, talking about this sport, which really came about a couple of years ago for us, and it's completely changed our lives. And it's not while it's an individual sport, we each run individually. I couldn't do it without the other ninjas there, you know, like I need them to train with, to learn from, all that support. And it's not as fun doing it on your own. I promise you it's not. So yeah, just like you said, you know, I want to back that up. Any sport you do, anything you choose to do, surround yourself with others, like-minded people, and you know, give everyone else a chance. Don't just walk in and think you're the best, because you're not going to last.
That's it. I think it's just about feeding off that energy.
Definitely.
And everyone's got an energy backpack on, and you got to hang around the guys with a full energy pack.
Exactly. And to not judge a book by its cover as well. Oh, that's one thing I learned.
That's a big one too, yeah.
You know, if I may say so, Fred Dorrington, right?
Oh, yeah.
Season Freddie one, Last Man Standing. When I first met him, he was in my group for the very first night. And we were walking around and I was walking next to him. And it's that classic, I looked at him, I was like, he was wearing this really Aussie getup.
Yeah.
And I was like, he looks like some Aussie bushman or something. Yeah. Like that. I don't know. I was like, who is this guy? Like, I never think negatively of people. I know what I'm saying, I did with Fred. I was just
looking intrigued. At
him. I was intrigued. I was like, oh, I'd be interested to see how this guy goes, you know? Just because he's got that Aussie swag about him, you know? And
just straight up and down like an average bloke, eh?
Yeah. And he surprised absolutely everyone. And he's honestly a really, really fit guy. And he proved it on the show, and he has in the UK. And he's become one of my best mates from the show, you know? And it's just one of those things, you know, from that first day to where we are now, it's like I'd never think that all this stuff has happened to lead us to where we are. No, but it has.
That's life, man. That's
life. Shout outs to you, Fred. You're a good man.
Yeah, Freddie Boyle will be tuning into this podcast. We love you, brother. We haven't been talking about you much off the podcast, but, you know. so the applications, it was application time for season one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when me and you both, we're testing out something new.
Mm-hmm.
Little did we know what we were getting ourselves into, did we?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I think I had a little bit more experience than others, you know, including yourself, as far as obstacle training. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it came to the actual application and fitness test that we go through, obstacle training had nothing to do with it, unfortunately for me. So it was really just about how fit you are. It was more of like a CrossFit workout, I feel. Body weight, you know, exercises. And
with the fitness test?
Yeah, with the fitness test.
Yeah, so we'll let them know what protocols we had to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone trained specifically for this.
No, no one knew.
No one had a clue.
Yeah.
So the application was, you know, how long was this thing? It was like a novel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It took me a couple of hours to really fill out.
Yeah, yeah.
Just with the questions they fired at us.
Yeah.
Which these questions I use to this day with clients and with people that I help to set goals as well, because they're them questions where they're very confronting and they ask you these things that you never thought you'd ask yourself either.
No, totally. They make you think a little laterally and go, ooh, I'm not too sure how to answer
that. You actually got to think from the heart. And
yeah.
Like, and these questions consist of, you know, what are the most important things in your life?
Mm.
What are your biggest failures? And
how
did you overcome that failure?
Yeah.
And I think those questions in themselves, they really bring out your values.
Yeah, they do.
So that's perfect to use in life, really.
Mm.
And use that in any aspect of life, whether it's training or, you know, in the business world, trying to get a job, or if it's education or academics, going to school.
Yep.
That's what's going to push you that extra extra mile.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think for me, it came down to the realization that you can't fake your way through the application to get on the show. Because let's point out the obvious facts of the show are it is a television show, and they are looking for people with a story. You know,
that's right.
But you can't if you can't fake your story and you can't fake your personality throughout the application process. They'll get you. You know, so if you just have to be yourself, and people say that all the time, but it's totally true, especially applying for Ninja Warrior. Don't try and make up some story. Don't try and bump something up thinking that you're going to get a better chance, because it's not going to work.
Be yourself,
you just have to be you. You know, that's the best person you can be, honestly. And you know, if you're not some quirky guy, you know, a bit out there, that's okay. There's a place for everyone.
There's a place for everyone. And you'll end up shooting yourself in the foot if you go in there trying to be someone else that you're not.
Yeah.
And what if you don't get chosen anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you would have got through if you were just you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I carry that little philosophy around with me everywhere I go now is, you know, be yourself because everyone else is taken.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's simple, isn't it?
It's like, good. It's good.
It's really, really great. And, you know, it's just like that old story of being a sheep following the pack.
Yeah.
Don't be the sheep, man. Be yourself. Be up front. Yeah. They'll love you for who you are. Exactly. Obviously, you're going to have some sort of physical abilities.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That you definitely can't fake. Yeah, yeah. I can do 1,000 push-ups. No worries.
Yeah.
Show me.
And yeah, you'll make a fool of yourself if that's the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, after the application, let's go through the fitness test.
Yeah, so you rock up on the day. And you know, introduce yourself to everyone else in your hometown. So they do a bit of a tour around all the major cities. So we rock up. The first bit of the test consists of a 5-minute plank, straight up. Get on the ground, 5-minute plank. Hold it there. If you do fall down, you gotta shake it off and get straight back up, because they'll note down when you fall down the first of all, but they'll also note down how many times after that you continue to fall.
And that's a result of looking for mental toughness.
Yeah.
To see how fast you can bounce back when you fall.
Yep.
So that's very powerful. So you don't have to be really fit, but they want to look at someone that's going to be, you know, swinging every punch as they're falling.
Yeah.
You know?
It does show.
Yeah. Second one was the burpee to pull up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd have 1 minute rest after that 5 minute plank, and then 5 minutes of a burpee pull up.
Burpee pull up.
On a 7-second timer. So you'd start hanging off a bar, a beat would go, you'd have then 7 seconds to do a pull up, drop all the way down. Very strict, by the way, they're watching you. All the way down, chest to ground, back up again, hanging off a bar, ready for the next 7 seconds. And it goes quick.
Oh, That was a time in life where it got pretty dark.
Well, we came out all
right. So after that, we had a minute rest.
Yep.
Was it the dead hang?
Yeah.
5 minute dead hang.
Yep.
Straight after that, so our forearms are absolutely blaring at this point. Mm. There's blood pumping in all sorts of directions throughout the body.
Yep.
Obviously, your lungs are screaming, all that jazz. But
once again, if you fall off, they'll note when you fall off, and then you just have to keep trying. You can't just fall off and wait for the next few minutes. You have to keep jumping up and trying. And if you don't, they're going to mark it down as you've given up.
And this will not give you a good chance of getting selected.
Yeah, yeah. So bonus points for the hang, they said, every time so far.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
So after the 5 minute dead was a 1 minute rest.
Yep.
And then we had the skipping.
Yeah.
5 minutes of continuous skipping.
Yeah. Which by then you could barely pick up the skipping rope with your forearms.
That's right.
So.
And they encouraged the ninjas or potential ninjas to show off and show their skills, whether it was crossovers.
Double unders. Yep.
I've seen a few boys doing some triple unders on my day.
Yeah.
People were really putting everything on the table.
Yeah. So practice your skipping just in case, because you never know what they're going to throw at you.
Yeah.
I think for the test for me personally, it's a great test as far as physical fitness, and we'll get into this more when we talk about the actual experience on the show. But if I were designing the test, the one thing that it's missing is showing any sort of body awareness, body control, which is the biggest thing for me in Ninja. You know, put it this way, you could get the top 10, 20 athletes that nailed that fitness test, you could throw them on a bar. And you can go, show me how to build up a swing, and do a lache from this bar to this bar, only 2 meters away. And that all 10 of them might not be able to do it. 100%. But on the fitness test, they're awesome. So this is what I really, really, really want to point out, is if you're training for Ninja Warrior, it's not all about strength.
That's right.
Because when it comes to crunch time, look at the stats. Very, very, very few people fall off an obstacle purely just because their arms are so pumped out and gassed. It doesn't happen that often. I've never had it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've ever had it.
No.
Is you stuff up because you're not sure how to do the obstacle, or you're swinging the wrong way, or you don't know how to swing, and things like that, or your balance is off, and, you know.
Maybe even just, like, trying to encourage Ninja Warrior to, or encourage the viewers, if they're interested in the ninja, to practice on just a set of monkey bars, on moving through some monkey bars, or
definitely
finding some ropes, swinging from a rope to rope.
Definitely.
These are the type of things that people need to be learning.
Yeah, it's that body control.
Body awareness, body control.
Yeah, it's big. It's the biggest thing for me anyway.
Yeah, because a lot of people just struggle to swing.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's the first thing I teach when people come into the gym. I go, before you jump on any obstacles, jump up on this bar and show me if you can build up a swing. And I'm not talking about kipping like they're doing CrossFit and a few other movements. That's one thing. I'm talking about building up momentum on a bar, and a lot of people don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because these are very fit people, and they wouldn't last a second on the ninja course if you don't know what you're doing.
And another one in saying that is probably balancing across a thin area.
Yeah, definitely.
Like a piece of wood or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whether it's a battle rope, trying to practice on, as they've seen the rolling log on there, that took out a lot of humans.
It did. Which also transfers over to agility. You know, you could have really good slow balance, but a lot of the balance obstacles are how fast can you get across it without falling off. So working that agility.
Speed too, maybe.
Speed. Yeah, power in your legs. Power. How fast can you accelerate from 0 to 100, you know?
Yeah.
I
think that comes down to a lot of leg movements.
Yep.
Like sprinting.
Plyometrics, jumping. Plyometrics, all sorts.
Box
but
jumps.
Let's get into that. So season one for you, going into season one, you've done the fitness test, you found out you're accepted. What were your thoughts and what was your training leading up to day one of the competition?
My thoughts were, I had no idea what I was in for, to be completely honest. I had no idea. I went into it just because I'm a bodyweight enthuse.
Yep.
I love my freestyle calisthenics, as a lot of people do know that. So that's my bread and butter. I really love that style of training. I did attend a lot of ninja training at the Stunt Academy in the Gold Coast.
Sure, yeah.
Shane Alisara has got an amazing outdoor Ninja Warrior gym, designed by himself, you know, with a lot of scaffolding and tires and ropes. And
yeah, it's a great gym.
You name it, he's got it there. He's built it himself.
Yeah.
So a lot of training went down there. But what kept me afloat was my calisthenics, so a lot of my bodyweight training, which I'm very lucky to transfer into Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the pull-ups, a lot of the dips.
Yep.
A lot of hanging off a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of core work on the bar as well.
Yep.
It had me going into the freestyle calisthenics as well, like doing all the tricks and whatnot, where of that course. Gave me the
body awareness.
The body awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Knowing where your body is in space.
And the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, very important. Yeah. But I was a juggler as a child, so I feel my hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, was pretty connected there and wired through. But I think the biggest one for me, man, is a little bit of natural instinct of, as a kid growing up, I used to climb a lot of trees as well.
Same, yeah.
So climbing through, you know, bushland and climbing mango trees and gum trees, jumping out of trees into rivers and swinging and whatnot. I think a lot of it was from the good old days.
Yeah, yeah. And it translates, you know. Yeah. I was very much the same. And I think that's where that, you know, for me, it's the ability to adapt to any situation, because I did a lot of all sorts of different sports growing up, you know, footy, t-ball, basketball, lacrosse, athletics, swimming, you know, I tried it all. And I feel like because I've just never made my mind up, it actually made me have to adapt to all these different sports. And overall, I just learned different things from different sports, and it's kind of...
You're Jack of all trades, maybe.
Yeah, master of none.
What about yourself? What was your thoughts leading up to the show?
Yeah, the mindset going in, I think one of the biggest things that people think about and worry about, well, not everyone, but certainly a lot of people, is what it's going to be like in front of a live crowd and in front of the cameras and all of that jazz, you know? So I thought about that and didn't know what to expect, really. Obviously, the nerves and the pressure is one thing. So my mindset leading up to that was just trying to keep myself calm, focused, and just
staying in the moment. What were you like in front of a crowd, like beforehand?
Beforehand, I haven't had a huge amount of experience apart from DJing, you know, doing the music production.
Of course, you're a DJ, yep.
Yeah, so... But, you know, and that's in front of a big crowd, which is nice, but it's not the same, you know.
It's a different story.
It is. I'm kind of just looking at the decks, just concentrating on what's right in front of me. I don't have to really do much to the crowd, don't have to talk, anything like that. So it did help, but getting there and on the night, I think the nerves get to you, don't they?
What was that feeling before just stepping on the podium for Heat 1?
That's the thing.
If you could explain it to me right now and the listeners, how did that feel?
Yeah, so I think when most people think back to their experience on Ninja Warrior, me personally, I think I'll speak for a lot of other people, is they actually remember the few moments before they get up on stage a lot more than the actual run. Because when you're up there and you're going, you're just going. You're not even thinking, you're just doing it. But before, you've got all the time in the world to think about it. And it's all you're thinking about. You know
exactly.
What I mean? It's super nerve-wracking. As the rounds go on, if you do make it through, it does become a little bit easier as time goes by. But certainly that first round, just nerves. You can hear the crowd. You just think it's just the biggest deal in the entire world. Nothing else matters but you and that point.
It's just you, man. It's just you and the cameras and the audience.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're the rock star at that point in time.
Yeah, it's your moment to shine.
It's your moment. And, you know, you hear your name called out, you know, the next ninja is Ben Paulson.
Ooh.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm getting the feelings right now.
Yeah, the heart's racing, isn't it?
The heart's absolutely pumping. And you got all sorts of things running through your head, man. Like, you know, a lot of negative thoughts, a lot of assumptions of what can and what if.
Yeah.
But what about this?
It's just keeping those thoughts down, you know.
Believing in the process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The way I found to do it the best is almost to have... it would sound like an arrogant approach to a lot of people, but the way I see it is confidence. I feel like there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence. Going into it, I kind of look at the obstacles and I just think to myself, yeah, I can do this, you know, no dramas. Not going to be a problem. And just have that confidence to... back myself up. I've trained for it.
Yeah.
You know, I know what I'm capable of, and I just have to execute. And I go, that's it. I know I can do it. What am I worried about? Stop worrying.
That's it.
I think far too many people look at the obstacle and they go to think of every possible way it can go wrong for them. And then they start to worry. And I look at it and I go, I can do this. You can do this. I fling through. No dramas. I got it. Piece of cake.
Yeah.
Easy. You know, and if I keep telling myself that, it becomes more of a reality. Look, I can do this. You know, I know. I can. And just have confidence in yourself.
Oh, no, I can relate to that, man. I think we spoke about this once or twice before. Going into the show, we spoke about, you know, keeping that solid mindset and just believing it before we see it. You know, and not believing it. When we see it, and then believing it, you know, you got to see it first and you got to get to digest that thought and accept it.
Yeah.
Because, like, from experience, I watched a lot of ninjas backstage, and I think that's the day that really crumbles the boys and girls back there that are constantly pacing around the room, or whether they're picturing the course in front of them and they're running and practicing and stuff.
Yeah.
They're really using energy that they need, you know, thinking and stressing about the one thing that they might fall on, but...
And it gets to you.
It gets to them, and then they end up falling on that particular obstacle.
Yeah, and I truly believe that. It's what you choose to focus on, what you choose to spend your time focusing on, if it's especially if it's negative... it's more likely to happen.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. If you aren't focusing on, I don't want to stuff up in this, I don't want to stuff up in this, I don't want to stuff up in this, it's more likely that you will stuff up in it That's why I go for the approach of I think through all the obstacles, I visualize in my head, I'll sit there and I'll close my eyes, I'll put some music on and I'll visualize me running the course and I'll go, yep, got that, and I'll visualize the perfect run. All the way down to what hand goes first, what foot goes first. Take, you know, the few seconds after the first obstacle, take a breather, look at the crowd, just reset, next obstacle, you know, and I'll do that from the first obstacle all the way to the last, or even down to planning how I'm going to hit the buzzer.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the most exciting part. And it honestly is. And thinking that way, thinking, visualizing you finishing and you hitting that buzzer all the way down to how you're going to finish it, that's how confident I am that I'm going to finish this course. And so far, it's worked for me really well. And it's just that positive reinforcement. And concentrating on that, it's more likely that that will happen.
Yeah. You know? No, that's great. Great advice. And, you know, we're not saying that if you believe it, it's going to happen to everyone. But we're saying that this is the best way to go into
of course,
a performance.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your performance is. Whatever space you're going into, whether it's a, you know, an... a performance where you're singing on stage, or you know, whether that will come down to choking and not being able to sing the words, I think you can sort of attack anything in life with this mindset.
Mm-hmm.
When you say looking at the crowd, do you mean just like embracing the moment?
And I think that's really important. If you do have the opportunity to experience something like this, you have to soak it up.
You got
to. I think it comes back to too many people. A lot of people focusing on all the things that can go wrong, and you can see it in their run. They might get through the first or the second obstacle, but they're still worried. They're not in the moment anymore. They're just thinking too far ahead all the time, worrying, and they're not really embracing the moment. And that's what I try to do.
They're rushing it.
Yeah, and you can see it. They're shaking. They're rigid. They're tense through all the obstacles, gassing out their arms because they're squeezing too hard.
Mm.
And it's just trying to stay relaxed and just go, I'm here, I can't change anything anymore. I'm just, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm going to enjoy it. And also, it's a television show. So let the crowd are there to watch.
That's
you,
what
you
it's
know.
For. We got
to
put on a performance. Yeah?
Give them a performance. Give the millions of people in Australia what they're looking for, which is an entertaining run. Or, you know, maybe you'll fall, but make it entertaining when you fall, you know, regardless
of what
it is.
Make sure you have a good time.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, don't let it, there's a lot of people which will fall and they've got that negative attitude, and you just have to be grateful that you've even made it there, because think of all the thousands of people which didn't even get the opportunity.
They didn't even get the look in.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
I think people like me and yourself can keep those ninjas grounded, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I like to hope so.
Yeah.
But no one gets out alive, you know? No one gets out alive. That's... unless you hit that buzzer at the top of Mount Midoriyama and you win the whole thing.
Yeah. No one, which is yet to happen here in Australia.
Yeah, everyone's going to feel that same feeling of, ah, I could have done better. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that?
You know, and there's plenty of moments that we can speak in that way as well. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
So we've both stepped up to the podium on heat one, and we got through.
Mm-hmm.
We got through with, you know, we both, I believe... we didn't fall in the first round, did you?
No. Fastest time of the night, mate.
Oh, there you go.
Glad Ashlyn wasn't in my group.
Yeah, Ashlyn. Shout out to that big gorilla hand human. Not a natural sized forearms he's got there, but...
no, Popeye.
Doing very well, the kid.
Yep.
After that first run, you feel like a bit of weight's off your shoulders, eh?
Yeah. I think... for me personally, I don't know about you, I'll ask you the same question, but for me personally, going into the competition, I always have a bit of a, whether I like it or not, my subconscious, I have a bit of an idea of where I would like to get to, and after that, I'm pretty satisfied.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for season one, it was if I make it to semifinals, right, so make it past the qualifiers into this next round, if I make it pretty far through that next round, I'll be stoked. I wasn't even thinking about finals.
Mm.
I just thought, I'd like to definitely get past the first stage.
You were just happy to
and
make
if
it.
If I get to that second stage, as long as I don't fall on something early or do something dodgy, I'll be happy. You know? And what about yourself going into... well, or you were just thinking, oh, I'm going to hit Mount Midoriyama.
Nah, well, thinking of it now, I'm pretty... like, I've covered my own ass by saying that I would have been happy to make it to heat one, but that didn't happen.
Sure.
So I can say that now.
Sure, sure.
Maybe if I fell in heat one,
yep,
I'd be like, I'd be spewing, man, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But I was happy to make it on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but to make it as far as we did to the grand final, you know, when I got through heat one, I was like, yeah, this is sick.
Yep.
This is mad. We'll see how we go with the semis.
Mm.
Always confident.
Yep.
You always want to get as far as you can.
Yeah,
at the back of your mind.
Yep.
But even just to make it on the show, I was grateful as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Semi-finals got tougher, I believe, and you know the numbers narrowed down a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the pressure starts to pick up more.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you know that you're up against some of the tougher ninjas that have made it through.
Yeah, and an extra three obstacles.
And then an extra couple of obstacles as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But in saying that, it made it more interesting, and you were keen to see how much further you could go. Yeah.
It's funny, as well. Your perspective changes all of a sudden. Because prior going in, I thought semi-finals, as long as I get to there, I'll be happy. As soon as I got past the first round, my perspective changed. And now I had all this new information about how hard or how easy it was going to be, what the other competitors are like, what the vibe's like. I've now been in front of the camera once, I've done that whole spiel. And so now I was kind of thinking, actually, so I don't want to get to just semi-finals, I want to make it to finals.
Yeah, yeah.
Not I want to, I'm going to make it to finals, yeah. You know? And it just completely shifted after that first round.
Now, well, you had your first taste, man, and I think it was that first bit of taste, whether it was going to be sour or sweet.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
It was definitely sweet, so yeah, you're like, yeah. I like this.
Yeah.
So, so your confidence automatically goes through the roof.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And that's a good thing. Like, you
not
want
always,
that.
Not always, though, you know. Too much confidence is... can be really bad.
True, yeah.
And there were a few, I think, you know, there's always a few people in any sort of sport which are going to be too confident, overconfident, and they get snapped up, you know.
I think there's a confidence level where you get to, and then after that confidence level, you got to meet respect with the course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you got to have that respect because it can, you know, a simple mistake, you'll be in the drink.
Yeah. That's it.
Something so simple, and then, you know, it's...
game over.
It's game over for you.
Forgotten about. Like there you that. Go. It's like, see you later.
In a millisecond.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to be extra cautious as well. Like, and yeah, you're totally right with that confidence level.
Mm.
You don't want to get too cocky because it'll smash you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. With the... one thing I thought we'd mention, actually, is... we can just go over it briefly. Is... The whole day that is, especially that first day leading up to the qualifying round.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize is you know, you see it on TV and you go, oh, they've just, you know, they've been waiting at the back, warming up a little bit. Then they just go out there, you know, at night, probably 9 o'clock and just do their run. And it's not really, not the case. So we get picked up from the hotel. They all keep us... all, no matter where you're from, they keep you at the hotel so they know where you all are. I think it's 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, about 6 a.m.
Yeah, you get picked up from there, transported over to the ferry, where you then wait longer, go over to from the ferry over to Secret Ninja Island.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's a full day of filming, photos, interviews, non-stop from about, you know, you get up at 6 a.m. all the way until about 5 p.m., where you get a break.
You get a break, get a glimpse.
Get a glimpse of the course. No testing, no nothing. You just get one guy will show you each obstacle once, and that's it. You can ask questions because we have to know the rules. I think that's what people don't understand. We need to know what the rules are so we don't get disqualified.
Mm. We don't get to play all day and fun on the course.
No, so you're on. You got to let that personality shine, and you got to be in front of the cameras and just kind of be yourself. But for a full day, and so by the time it gets to the time of filming, which starts usually about 8:30 at night, if they're on time, all the way until about 2:30 in the morning, I think is the latest they're allowed to film. And I know my first round, I was the third last person to run, and it was about 2:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so from 6 a.m. until 2:15 absolutely in the morning, knackered. I was a different person.
Yeah.
I was not. I
you
was
should
not
have been curled up in bed with the old teddy bear.
Exactly.
Suck it on your thumb.
Ah, well, honestly, it's one of those. It was one of those moments where I was like, far out. I was not expecting this. I was, you know.
No, and that day takes it out of you as well.
Oh.
Because you're constantly thinking over and over and over in your head.
Yeah, too much time to think. Yeah.
Or what's going to happen and what do we do? What's the course like?
Mm. I mean, not allowed to watch other people run. That's one thing as well. So there would be an advantage to be able to watch the other ninjas because you'd pick up some tips here and there, but they keep us in a back room all locked away. With just some beanbags and whatnot. It's not that bad. It's actually, you know, they look it's after cool. us. They look it's cool. up. It's cool. But we're not allowed to watch anything. So you can just hear a bit of the crowd and that's about it. You kind of just have time to zone out.
And that's
out.
Even nerve-wracking as well.
It is, yeah. Yeah. So you try and put in some music and just not listen to the crowd because that gets you too amped up. But, yeah, so going through the rounds, we've made it to finals.
Yeah, made it to the finals and, you know, we're down 9 men from 2,000? I'm way ahead of myself here.
250.
Yeah, 250
yep.
men and women, narrowed down to 9 individuals.
Yeah.
From, you know, blokes all across Australia, some of the best ninjas
mm.
that have made it through, you know, to the grand finale. And me, myself and Benny was stood, you know, as the last men standing. And that was a feeling in itself. To be there on that last day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was unreal. You know, by the time you get to that point where, you know, out of the 7,500 that applied, down to 500 for the fitness test, down to 250 for the show, now down to 9. And it was incredible to be there. So
it's a fantastic feeling.
It really is. And I still remember being in that waiting zone. And I'll never forget. We didn't really know each other too well.
No, but, we didn't.
But everyone's really nervous, just kind of striding around, waiting. There's lots of waiting.
No and one really spoke to each other. I can't really recall.
No, and then I remember you had some music and you popped on a bit of a house tune and you're like, come on, boys, this is it. This is the day. This is the final. So you started playing some music and we all just started this dance circle.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just wouldn't expect that, you know, after watching the show, the crowd's out there waiting. The crowd's probably thinking, oh, they're probably doing some push-ups or, you know, like stressing out about it. And then cuts to us just like, woo, dance
just
party.
Dancing, just in a huddle, just like, come on, boys, let's feel it. This is us. It's come down to us. Let's put on a show.
It was good.
That day it was actually pissing down rain.
It was, unfortunately, which is one thing we just have to deal with, or the production crew have to deal with, is the fact that it is.
They can't help it, man.
No, they can't.
No one can help it.
So they do their best, you know, and I respect the crew and everyone that organises it. It does an incredible job.
Mm.
It's not an easy job to do, especially when the rain delays a lot of things and wets the obstacles and you're constantly drying everything. But
it makes the course about 100 times harder for the boys, though.
Yeah.
You know, all the obstacles are wet. Shoes, because we need our grippy shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think with a bit of water on the bottom of the wheels, it gets nice and slippery, so it's definitely.
But everyone's in the same boat with that, I guess. It's one of those things. It's not as easy.
There's no advantages.
Everyone's getting a wet course, it's just one of those things. But I know for me, leading up to that position and going out there, it was the first time my parents finally flew over to watch me. Because they weren't there for the previous rounds.
Oh,
they
weren't
finally
they?
Flew over from Perth because it's, you know, it's a bit of a flight.
Wow.
And they made it there. And I'd been telling them all about, oh, I've done this. Really happy for me. And then I get there and I'm ready. And those ropes, I'm looking at those ropes.
Yeah.
And run out, make a fool of myself for about 30 seconds. and then swing off to the side of the platform and watch my dad just laughing his ass off at me.
Was he really?
That was a reality check for me. After doing so well all the previous rounds, never having failed yet, hit every buzzer and then get to there and just stuff it on the first obstacle. Because it came down to, as I said, it's not about strength. It's just the fact that I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I grabbed too high on the rope and I couldn't reach the next rope. And then by the time I realized it was too late, you know? Just that experience on obstacles. So.
That whole grand final was a bit of a disaster for many.
It was.
You know, sitting in that. When did you run out of the 9?
I think I was second or third last.
Second or third last, yeah. You were, that's right, yep. So I think I ran 6th or 7th.
Yep.
And I remember beforehand, we could see at the end of the tunnel where we were sitting, we could hear the buzzer going off, beep,
yeah.
to start their round, and
yep.
the red light was going off, mm-hmm. you know, within 10 seconds yeah. of every person.
Yeah, as our sign to, we were going, what's going on?
What's everyone
falling? How hard is that first obstacle, you know? It can't be that hard, it's just some ropes, you know? It was just the classic, you look at the obstacle and you go, ah, it's just a rope swing, it'll be no dramas, and you don't think about it anymore. That's the biggest mistake ever.
That's the biggest.
You need to think about every possible way on how to get through that, work out what's going to be the best way for you, and go, okay, now I've got it, you know? Yeah, think about how it can go wrong as well, but don't dread on it too much.
Yeah.
More strategic than...
That was very strategic, that rope jungle.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the furthest we got was Fred Dorrington on the hanging floating boards.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
Champion.
You know, in his classic bloke outfit.
classic green and gold.
Green and gold representing Australia. The man made it the furthest, and that was season one done and dusted.
Yeah, yeah.
And what an experience that was, you know. And here we are today, having a bit of a chat about it.
Yeah.
Bit of a chin wag.
Exactly. So, who knows what the future holds?
What does the future hold? Will we be returning?
Yeah, I'd love to return.
Me too. So, we'll just wrap that up and conclude it all.
Yep.
You know, the season one Ninja Warrior. It was an absolute cracker of a show. You know, it pulled in ratings of up to...
2.5 million almost.
Yeah, 2.5-3 million people.
Yeah.
It blew the, you know, the Channel 9 network.
Yeah.
The guys were absolutely wrapped with the show and, you know, all the feedback and reviews. It just, it's been massive across Australia.
Yeah.
And it's growing and growing each year, you know, and we've now got a squad and an army of ninja kids coming through the ranks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I think in a couple of years we better be watching out or stepping up our training, because little fellas are going to come.
I know.
Come swinging through.
Exactly. There's some strong 18-year-olds out there these days, you know. So I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm more worried about the primary school kids and the teenage kids as well.
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't underestimate them, little fellas.
No, I've seen some incredible 14-year-olds, 13, you know, all the way down to, I'm sure there's some 8-year-olds out there.
Yeah.
Injuring. I've heard and seen plenty of videos of really young kids going out there and just giving it a crack. And that's, for me, that's what it's all about, is I want to inspire those kids to just get out there and get moving again.
You know? And I suppose this is a sport for anyone.
Mm.
Hey, no matter what age, what weight you are.
Yeah.
You know, if you are overweight, you know, you can lose weight in pursuit to, you know, achieving some Ninja Warrior obstacles.
Yeah.
And there are Ninja Warrior gyms popping up all over Australia.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, everywhere. Like even our local Sky Zones and Bounce.
Yeah.
You know, our trampoline facilities where they're building obstacle courses within them as well.
Yeah.
We encourage everybody to get on board with the ninja community.
Yeah.
It's a great community.
Yeah, if you're wondering, oh, but how do I get started? I don't know anyone. I don't know what to do. You just have to get out there. Anything that you know, as we just mentioned, you know, Bounce or there's Latitude or Sky Zone, just go over there, have a crack, play on the course, see what it's like and just get a feel for it, you know. Stop putting it off. You know, I think you just got to take the first step and then the rest will come.
Take the first step. That's right. The biggest step is the first one out the front door.
Yeah.
I heard.
Exactly. A little birdie told me.
So, coming to you from P City, P Town, to some of you, maybe just Perth in WA, Benny Polson. You can follow this bloke on Instagram. Do you want to let the guys know your...
Instagram at...
Handle.
Ben_Polson, P-O-L-S-O-N.
And follow this guy on Spotify as well. The lad's an up-and-coming DJ and he's released some bangers.
Thank you. Yeah.
These tunes are fire.
Yeah, if you want to find that first song on Spotify or anywhere, it's... my artist name is Lacuno. That's spelled L-A-K-U-N-O. So go check it out. If you like it, that's awesome. If you don't, That's also okay.
All right, we're peacing out, guys.
Yeah, thanks Thank for having me, buddy. I appreciate it.
No worries, brother. Take care, and we'll be back on the podcast very soon.
Woo.
Laters.